San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, May 23, 2021. Today's lesson is Life of Joy with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is such a joy to be here with you today, such an absolute joy. And I just, this month of joy just keeps getting better and better. Amen. Which is, you know, it's astounding that it could even be getting better and better. Because joy is like the ultimate, right? So if we've been living in the ultimate all month long, how is it getting better? How is it? I'll tell you how. We're more open. So let us prepare for this absolute life of joy. Let us remember that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows throughout creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this absolute truth is the truth of all life, the truth of the universe, and it is the truth that is the foundation of who we are as individuals, as a community, as a world, as a universe, as the divine, joyful beings of our Creator. So, we're going to start out with Living the Science of Mind, page 431. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of not just the Science of Mind textbook, but also Living the Science of Mind and countless other books, the founder of the Science of Mind magazine, he was actually a divine science minister when he was doing all his research when he developed religious science. But Living the Science of Mind is like a series of essays, and they help us to understand the classic Science of Mind textbook. So he has an article that he calls Happiness. That sounds about appropriate for a life of joy, doesn't it? And he asks us, do you wish to be happy? And he says, well, isn't that a silly question? Because who would not wish to be happy? Who doesn't want to be happy? I don't know of anybody. You know, sometimes we run across people and you think, boy, do they just work really hard at being miserable? But being happy is what we all desire. And we desire it not just for ourselves, but for everyone. And he goes into what is the basis of happiness. He says, happiness must be based on an inward sense of security, a sense of belonging to life and to each other, a desire to give, to be kind and compassionate, and to be able to put ourselves in another person's position. That sounds kind of like what happiness is. And you know what? It's all internal. Every bit of it is internal. And Ernest tells us that happiness is never external. It is never external. We have to understand that every person is complete within themselves. There is nothing outside that can make you happy. Because whatever it is that's outside, if you think it's making you happy, give that same thing to every person on the planet, and you will find that it is not happiness. I may be very happy if you give me a Snickers bar. Somebody with chocolate allergies, peanut allergies, diabetes, any of those other things, if you give them a Snickers bar, they're going to go, oh, thanks. So it's not the outside things, that it never has been the outside things. One of the things that we know, and Ernest tells us, is someone has said that we used to think that we had to be well in order to be happy. But now we know that we must be happy in order to be well. First, we must be happy in order to be well. Because all of the things that make us unhappy, the angst, the external, all of these things, they show up in our bodies as tension, as aches, as pains, as diseases, as discomfort. And it isn't until our mind is well and we are happy that our bodies can heal. And think about when doctors used to say, oh, yes, somebody's very, very upset, and oh, it's female. Psychosomatic. Whatever the ailments are, I hurt, I ache, I have headaches, I feel off balance. Psychosomatic. Nothing really wrong with her. But in that psychosomatic, what they're saying is the mind is creating the illness. And they're right. The mind will create the illness. But they didn't take it far enough to recognize that the mind creates the wellness. The mind creates the wellness. And it is that wellness that shows up when we're happy. I remember when Noble Benning, religious science practitioner extraordinaire, was our guest singer one Sunday, and he sang the song Happy, and it raised the roof. It truly did. Everybody was standing and clapping and getting all excited. And you know, there's a word that's repeated over and over and over in that song, happy. Guess what it is? Happy. So it's true that we cannot be well unless we are mentally and emotionally happy. And think about children. Children are happy because they have not learned to be afraid. There can be no happiness when there is fear. They have not learned to be afraid. And on page 432, Ernest explains, the spontaneous joy of the child playing on the shore, the gladness of meeting the new day with the expectation of pleasure, and the quiet peace of rest at night, untroubled by inward conflicts. These are what we all long for. We must regain this lost ground if we are to have happiness, security, and peace. Spontaneous joy. It's bubbling up, seemingly spontaneous, because it is our natural state of being. Our natural state of being is love and joy and happiness and thrill, exciting, anticipation of good, expectation of good. These are all our natural state of being. So I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to embrace your natural state of being and live a life of joy?
Yes.
Wonderful. So am I. So place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
I choose to be happy.
I choose to be happy.
I choose to be well.
I choose to be well.
The spirit of joy is within me.
The spirit of joy is within me.
I choose a life of joy.
I choose a life of joy.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so keep those big smiles on your face and breathe in. Joy is your natural state of being. All you did right here is you are being your authentic self. That's it. Wasn't very hard, was it?
Nah.
We know that a life of joy is a conscious choice. Choosing to embrace your natural state of being. So I want to say something about choice. Because we're sitting here and we're thinking, do I really have any choice? If all these things are going on around me, don't I have to respond to all of them? Don't I have to defend myself? Don't I have to protect myself? No. No, you don't. Just because somebody else does something that other people get upset about doesn't mean you have to even acknowledge it. You don't have to acknowledge all of the stuff that's going on outside your center. And you have a choice about that. You have a choice. Everybody does. Ernest Holmes on page 143 says, we cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is choice. If it were not so, we would not be individuals. Now, normally, I use that just as reinforcement whenever I'm talking about choice. But today, I want to go a little deeper. I want to share what else Ernest says that is about making choices. He says, of course, we're making choices. We can't not make choices. Ernest says, we have the right to choose what we wish to experience. We have the right to choose the kind of companions with whom we wish to associate. To say in what city and in what type of house we would like to live. We are individuals, and the only way we can be individuals is to be spontaneous. There is no such thing as a mechanistic individuality. It must have the essential elements of spontaneity. There is no spontaneity and no individuality without prerogative. There can be no choice unless there is something from which to choose. Otherwise, the ability to choose would be merely a fantasy. Therefore, there must be not only the possibility of choice, but the liability of experiencing that which is chosen. We choose. And we face the consequences of our choices. Consequences is not a bad thing. Consequences is outcome. Now, When I was a little girl, one of the things I thought consequences were, before I looked it up in the dictionary, were punishments. Do you know what the consequences are if you do that? Probably I'm going to get stood in the corner or have to take a nap or I'm going to get smacked or it's going to be taken away from me. The consequences if I did something. So as a little kid, it was like, oh, we don't want consequences. But now I love consequences. Consequences are simply the natural outcome of whatever we are doing, whatever choice we have made. They're good. They're good. The consequences of me standing up here and speaking appears to be you sitting there and listening. I like that. I like that. There's another section here in the Science of Mind textbook that I want to share with you. You know, when I do my research for my talk, so many things happen that are just like little miracles, little miracles. So I had my quotes for choice. And then I was looking for something in the back of my Science of Mind textbook, and I thought I saw pencil marks. And I do. I have light pencil marks back there. I thought, oh, this is the stuff I want, I thought was important. What is this? Fragments of healing, needful understanding. Huh. If I'm going to live a life of joy, I want to be fully healed. I do. Don't you? And besides, we cannot be well unless we are happy. So, Ernest, on page 447, is talking about how to approach the Spirit. He says, if we wish to come to the Spirit for the healing of our wounds, let us come in peace and with spontaneous joy, for the Spirit is joy. Let us come with thanksgiving also, for a thankful heart is in harmony with life. But we must come in quiet confidence with an open and receptive mind, a believing heart, naturally, sanely, and expectantly. In this way, we are entering the portals of reality clad in garments of righteousness. We come for healing, for our wellness, to live our life of joy with spontaneous joy. This is what we do. We come to know and be one with and embrace the wholeness of the divine that is within ourselves and within others in joy, in absolute joy. And he says here in the second paragraph, we seek fragments when the whole is at hand. How illogical to think that anything can rise higher than its source. The universe is a perfect individual. The universe is a perfect undivided whole, and healing can take place only when one is unified with it. How can anyone then be healed in part? Let us seek wholeness above all else. Which, to address the topic at hand, a life of joy, this doesn't just mean having a home life of joy, having a work life of joy, having a social media life of joy. It means having a life, a full life, embracing all parts of it, being so deeply in joy, in love, in expectancy of good, in all of this greatness, this spontaneous expression of the divine, that it is our very life, every bit of our very life. And we can do that because we are one with Spirit. And because earlier today, we chose to be happy. We chose to be well. We chose to embrace our natural state of being, which is joy. So on page 292, in the midst of paragraph 3, in all of these different areas of our life, that is our life of joy, Ernest says, "I stand in the midst of eternal opportunity, which is forever presenting me with the evidence of its full expression. Everywhere is the full expression of the divine. And we have eternal opportunity to be our true nature, to be joy. That's who we are. Our natural state of being." Ernest says, "I am joy, peace, and happiness. I am the spirit of joy within me. I am the spirit of peace within me, of poise and of power. I am the spirit of happiness within me. I radiate life. I am life. There is one life, and that life is my life now." So repeat after me. I am the spirit of joy within me.
I am the spirit of joy within me.
I am the spirit of happiness within me.
I am the spirit of happiness within me.
I radiate life.
I radiate life.
I am life.
I am life.
There is one life.
There is one life.
And that is my life now.
That is my life now.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Wow. 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 Joy. Joy. And the fullness of life. A life of joy is a conscious choice. But it's there for us, waiting for us to choose, because it is our inherent nature. It is our inherent nature. We know that joy, in the glossary of the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes tells us, joy is the emotion excited by the expectancy of good. Expectancy of good. So what's good? Yes, God the good. My God is my good. My good is my God. The goodness of all of life. When people are having a challenge thinking about a God of duality instead of unity, when they think of a punishing God, one of the things that Emma Curtis Hopkins teaches us is to stop saying God and say good. My good. My good blesses me. I am blessed. Love is my good. Good is my love. She has an entire statement of being. And I will bring that in for you one day and read that. It's very powerful. Because it's all about God is the goodness of everything, and God is only good. There is nothing unlike good in the infinite creator, in the source, in us. There is nothing unlike good in our very nature. Human people, human beings have come up with a way to judge good and bad. But I want you to know that good and bad is a cultural thing. It is a cultural thing. What is good in some areas is not considered good in other areas. There's some culture where if they have a really great meal, they're supposed to give a great big burp after they finish to express how wonderful the meal was. That doesn't work in my house. I look at that as, well, I was raised that, you know, if you need to do something like that, you excuse yourself or you cover your mouth or you turn away and, you know, try and not make this huge belch in the middle of the room. So we are following the 365 Science of Mind this year. And today, the teaching that we have is on page 154. And what this is saying, it's talking about we have to have openness. And then we have to have allowing and then claiming and then affirming. And then we need to recognize good for all. Okay? Done deal. Psh, we're over. No. No. The biblical quote that goes with this is Psalm 61, chapter 61, verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, covert of thy wings. So basically, we already are in the tabernacle forever because these bodies that we have, these are our body temples. They are housing the essence of us, the pure, unrestrained, absolute love and joy and beauty and peace and poise and harmony that we already are, because we are one with the divine. Ernest wrote, realizing that the spirit within me is God, the living spirit almighty, and being fully conscious of this divine presence as the sustaining principle of my life, I open my thought to its influx. I open my consciousness to its outpouring. I open myself to myself. I open myself to the divine within. So we have to have an awareness that we are these divine beings. And once we have this openness, this awareness, then comes in choice. The allowing. Now that I know this, I allow myself to be aware of my oneness. I allow myself to be influenced, guided, joy, filled with joy, filled with love. I allow these things within my conscious human experience. Ernest says, I let that mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. That is the mind of the truth, the mind of God, carrying with it all the power of the infinite. I am allowing, I am letting, I am acknowledging that the same mind, the same infinite intelligence, the same mind of God, the wholeness, the oneness, the very source. I'm allowing that to help me in my life. I'm allowing that wisdom to permeate through me and give me that expectancy of good. Then we get to claim it. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to allow it. Well, hey, you know what? I'm not just going to allow it. It's mine. It's mine. I'm claiming this. Ernest says, I do decree and declare that every experience that I have partakes of the nature of harmony and peace. Every experience I have partakes of this nature of harmony and peace. Why? Because that's our natural state of being. Every experience we have partakes of joy, which is our natural state of being. Every experience we have is this life that we are living here on earth. And since we have chosen a life of joy, let's claim it. Let's say, hey, every experience I have is filled with that deep, abiding joy. Once we declare it and we claim it, then we can reaffirm it to ourselves from time to time. We can say, hey, I know and understand that God alone is real. I know that silently I am drawing into my experience today and every day an ever-increasing measure of truth and beauty, of goodness, of joy, of harmony. Everything that I do, say, and think is quickened into right action, into productive action, into increased action. All there is mine now. These are our reminders. All there is mine now. All there ever was or ever can be is mine now. Of this divine bounty, I partake. In the Bible, it says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And in all these mansions, there's tables spread out with food, with everything, with, luxurious clothing. These are human ideas to try and explain that every need is met and that we have an eternal and infinite right to the expectancy of good. Humans think it's a good meal, it's nice clothes, great music, a massage, sunshine when I want it, clouds when I want to see the play of light and shadow. That's what humans think. It's bigger than that. It's everything. It's absolutely everything. And Ernest reminds us, the same good that I realize belongs to everyone else. I do not desire a good for myself that is greater than the good I desire for all people. Neither do I deny myself the good that I claim for others. Since all are some part of the divine, good belongs alike to us all. I proclaim this good to be manifest among all people. What they're saying is, what I want for myself, I want for you. I want you to be in your natural state of joy. I want you to feel love, to feel overwhelmed with happiness and joy and a life that is working for you. A life that is filled with exciting moments every day. A butterfly. A hummingbird. Yes, lots of butterflies. Beautiful music. Strong lungs and a strong body. Comfort, peace, good relationships, smiling. Everybody has a smile. Everybody has a smile. Often people will not give you one of theirs until you give them one of yours. We just want to affirm the presence of joy as who we are in this life. One of the things that that is different about my house now that I have all the new windows and doors is I haven't put my upstairs curtains back up yet. So the windows are bare. And the little window in the upstairs landing is bare. And when the sun comes in, I remember why I designed it that way. Because we've got the kind of northerly, the east and the south. So the sun comes up and it shines in at an angle in the front window. It shines in the landing window and you can see the sun move as the shade moves from one side to the other. And the light comes in starting from left to right and winds up being right to left. And then in the other side window, the one that's south facing, you can see as the sun kind of moves around and finally gets to that window and then comes straight in that window and brightens the entire room. These are moments of joy. These are seeing something so beautiful as the sun coming in the windows. Without me having to twist the blinds or pull them up or anything. Every time I walk upstairs, it's like, oh, wow, look at that. This is what you get with a life of joy. Everything brings joy. We talked last week a little bit about finding joy even in challenging times. Well, the reason I don't have my curtains back up is because one of the brackets fell out and they're long. And so I need somebody to come over and hold one end while I hold the other. So, challenging times. My arms are not 10 feet long that I can do both ends at the same time. But I have the joy of the light, the joy of the openness. One of the other things is now my house is soundproof. So I didn't realize how many noises used to be in my house because it's so quiet now. Birds are singing around my house almost all day long, definitely all morning, and is starting in the evening. There's birds, and they sing, and they fly, and they do all kinds of stuff. And so when I walk outside, I suddenly hear the birds, and it's like, oh, and I'm stuck in a moment of joy, stopping to listen to the birds, where before I just took it for granted. So this is a life of joy. This is your life of joy. A life of joy is a conscious choice. Choosing to embrace your natural state of being. So I joyfully thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.